الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we had stopped at the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء وإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما ورثوا العلم فمن أخذه أخذ بحظ وافر. That indeed the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets, and the prophets, they did not leave behind as an inheritance any gold nor any silver, rather they left behind knowledge. So therefore, whoever obtained a portion of this, then he has obtained a vast portion. Then he has obtained a vast portion. We had discussed the first statement here, or the first portion of this statement. We have seen what Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned with regards to this, that indeed the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets. And that indeed the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets. We had stopped on this statement yesterday, and this portion, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified, وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْحَمٍ وَرَثُوا الْعِلْمَ فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَدٍ وَافِرٍ. And the prophets, they did not leave behind as an inheritance any gold or any silver, rather they left behind knowledge. Rather they left behind knowledge, so therefore whoever obtains that, then he has obtained a great portion. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this. He says, وَقَوْلُهُ إِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا وَإِنَّمَا وَرَثُوا الْعِلْمِ إِنَّمَا وَرَثُوا الْعِلْمِ. The statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that indeed the prophets, they did not leave behind any dinar or dirham, any gold or silver as an inheritance, and rather the only thing that they left behind as an inheritance was knowledge. So he says, rahimahullah, هذا من كمال الأنبياء وعظم نصحهم للأمم وتمام نعمة الله عليهم وعلى أممهم أن أزاح جميع العلل وحسم جميع المواد التي توهم بعض النفوس أن الأنبياء من جنس الملوك الذين يريدون الدنيا وملكها فحماهم سبحانه وتعالى من ذلك أتم الحماية. So here he's saying, rahimahullah, that this is from the completion of the prophets, and in the perfection of the prophets, and in the human perfection that Allah has bestowed upon them, and from their great sincere advice that they have brought for their nations, and the complete and perfect blessing of Allah upon them and upon their nations, and that Allah has freed the prophets and messengers alayhim wassalatu wassalam from all of these defects and faults and these ill desires and lusts and whims for desiring the worldly life, in order to cut off this delusion that some of the people might think, or misunderstanding that some of the people might have, that the prophets are similar to the kings, and that what they are after or intending is the worldly life and its authority and kingdom. Its worldly life and authority and kingdom. Yani that the prophets, alayhim wassalatu wassalam, they did not come to overcome the world and to have authority and command any for the sake of the worldly life, and to have a great kingdom and authority and wealth and prosperity in this manner. Rather, they came to rectify the hearts and to rectify the people and to rectify the lands. And they came with knowledge, beneficial knowledge and guidance from the Lord of the worlds, And this is true authority and command. In this manner, there is true authority and command and rectification and goodness. So this is what they came with, and this is what they left behind. They did not come seeking after the worldly life, seeking after the wealth and prosperity, nor did they leave that behind. This is to clarify their status and rank, and that some people, they may think that the prophets and messengers, they're like kings. They're like kings, for example, when they come ruling and having authority. This is not the case. This is not the case. In order to cut this thought and this delusion and this misunderstanding from its foundation, this narration clarifies that the prophets, they did not leave behind as an inheritance any wealth, not any gold nor any silver. This is not what they came for, and this is not what they left behind. This is not what they came for, and this is not what they left behind. So Allah has protected them from this, the Most High, the most complete protection. And in protecting the prophets and messengers from this claim, or this misunderstanding that they're like kings and they came to rule the land and have authority and prosperity to take the wealth of the people or to take the women of the people, so on and so forth. This was not their aim and their goal. And this narration and this issue here clarifies that. So it says, ثُمَّ لَمَّا كَانَ الْغَارِبُ عَلَى النَّاسِ أَنَّ أَحَدُهُمْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا لِوَلَدِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَيَسْعَى وَيَتْعَبُ وَيَحْرِمُ نَفْسُهُ لِوَلَدِهِ سَدَّ هَذِهِ الذَّرِيعَةَ عَنْ أَنْبِيَائِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَقَطَعَ هَذَا الْوَهَمُ وَقَطَعَ هَذَا الْوَهَمُ الَّذِي عَسَاهُمْ أَنْ يُخَالِطَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النُّفُوسِ كثيرا من النفوس التي تقول فلعله إن لم يطلب الدنيا لنفسه فهو يحصلها لولده. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: نحن معاشر الأنبياء لا نورث ما تركناه فهو صدقة. فهو صدقة. So he said likewise, rahimahullah, that whenever the majority of the people, whenever the majority of the people, one of them, he's only looking after this worldly life, or looking after this, and he's chasing after this worldly life, or chasing it after this worldly life for his children after him, for his children after him. And one, many of them, they will hasten and they'll work hard and they'll tire themselves out and even forbid or prohibit their own selves in order for their children to have good after them, in order for their children to have good after them. Allah Azza wa Jalla likewise has blocked this path and this means, and for the people to think the likes of this with regards to the prophets and messengers, with regards to the prophets and messengers. And he meaning that the prophets and messengers, alayhim salatu wasalam, their intention is the hereafter, and their aim and the goal is the pleasure of Allah, and they're conveying that which is revealed to them, and they're seeking the reward and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the home and the hereafter. They're not chasing after this life. They're not chasing after this life, not for themselves nor for their family. Not for themselves nor for their family and children. So in order to shut this door, in order to close this door, and to prohibit these thoughts from entering the minds of some of the people, this affair here has been mentioned. That the prophets, they do not leave, that the prophets, their inheritance that they leave behind is not wealth. It's not gold nor silver, rather it's knowledge. Rather it's knowledge, whether it's guidance. Rather it is guidance, beneficial knowledge and direction on how to live life. And how to live life according to that which is pleasing to the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that Allah has cut this off from them, this delusion that could come to the minds of many. And many of them, maybe they will say, okay, well, if he's not seeking the dunya for himself, then he will chase after it and strive to obtain it for his child. For his child. So all of this has been clarified. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, نَحْنُ مَعَاشَرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَا نُورَثُ مَا تَرَكْنَاهُ فَهُوَ صَدَقَ. We, the prophets, any of the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal, are not inherited. Our wealth is not inherited. Meaning our relatives will not take our wealth from us. That which we leave behind from wealth is a charity, is a sadaqah. So if any of the prophets and messengers, alayhim as-salatu wasalam, they had actual wealth, they had some money, or they had some property, and the likes like this, this will not be inherited from their family members after them. This will not be inherited from their family members after them. Rather, this will be left as a charity. Rather, this will be left as a charity. So he says, وَلَمْ تُوَرِّفُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ دِنَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا وَإِنَّمَا وَرَّفُ الْعِلْمُ. That the prophets, they did not leave as an inheritance any dinar or any dirham, no gold and no silver, no money. But only what they left behind was knowledge. But only what they left behind is knowledge. They left nothing behind except for knowledge. They left nothing behind except for knowledge. And this is all a clarification, as he mentioned, that the sincerity of the prophets and messengers and how Allah has preserved them and protected them from that. And likewise, their followers after them. So that one will not think that they came for the worldly life or resemble the prophets and messengers to kings. They're not kings, rather they're prophets and messengers. They're prophets and messengers. Even if some of them had a kingdom, any like Dawood alayhi salam and the likes, or Sulay, well, like Sulayman alayhi salam and the likes, this is an instance with regards to him. With regards to him, in any case, they do not leave behind inheritance. They do not leave behind an inheritance of wealth and property, gold and silver. What they leave behind is knowledge. What they leave behind is knowledge. He mentioned a number of benefits, rahimahullah, and from them he says, وَيُذْكَرُ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنُّهُ مَرَّ بِالسُّوقِ فَوَجَدَهُمْ فِي تِجَارَاتِهِمْ وَبِيَاعَاتِهِمْ فَقَالَ أَنْتُمْ هَاهُنَا فِيمَا أَنْتُمْ فِيهِ وَمِيرَاثُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يُقَسَّمُ فِي مَسْجِدِهِ. He said, رحمه الله, that has been mentioned from Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه, that at one time he passed by the market. He passed by the market and he found some people who were preoccupied in their business and they're buying and trading. And they're buying and trading and selling. So he said to them, You all are here. You all are sitting here in the market while the inheritance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being divided up in his masjid. You're all here in the markets and dealing with this affair, and right now at this very moment the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being divided in the masjid. And what are y'all doing here? Meaning, you know, you should go. You should hurry to get your portion. And this is what it means. So he says, فَقَامُوا سِرَاعًا إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ فَلَمْ يَجِدُوا فِيهِ إِلَّا الْقُرْآنَ وَالذِّكْرَ وَمَجَالِسَ الْعِلْمِ. So at this time they all stood up and hastened and went to the masjid. And whenever they got there, they did not find anything except for the Qur'an and the remembrance of Allah and gatherings of knowledge. And gatherings of knowledge and his circles of knowledge. فَقَالُوا أَيْنَ مَا قُلْتَ يَا أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ. So they said, what are you talking about? Where is what you were talking about previously, any earlier, O Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu? فَقَالَ هَذَا مِرَثُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يُقَسَّمُ بَيْنَ وَرَثَتِهِ وَلَيْسَ بِمَوَارِثِكُمْ وَدُنْيَاكُمْ وَلَيْسَ بِمَوَارِثِكُمْ وَدُنْيَاكُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. He said, here, this is the inheritance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's being divided right now amongst his inheritors. Amongst his inheritors. And it's not the inheritance and the worldly life any that you all are thinking. And so those students of knowledge, they're the ones who are taking their portion of that inheritance. And this is what he's referring to. That the inheritance was not left from the worldly life, from the money and the wealth and the gold and the silver, but rather that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left behind, is knowledge. That's why after this he said, فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. So whoever obtains a portion of that, he obtained a great portion. And whoever obtained a portion of the inheritance that he left behind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the inheritance of the prophets, فَقَدْ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. Then indeed he has obtained a great portion. And here Ibn Qayyim, he says, رَحِمَهُ وَقَوْلُهُ فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. And the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so therefore whoever takes a portion of that, whoever obtains that, then he has obtained a great portion. He says, أَعْظَمُ الْحُظُوذُ وَأَجْدَاهَا مَا نَفَعَ الْعَبْدَ وَدَامَ نَفْعُهُ لَهُ وَلَيْسَ هَذَا إِلَّا حَظَّهُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَالدِّينِ. He said, rahimahullah, that the greatest portion and most beneficial thing to obtain in this life is that which will benefit a person, and its benefit will continue for him eternally. Then the best thing a person can obtain, the best portion he can have, the best thing he can get his hands on, the best thing that he can have, and he calling it his, and this is mine, this is my portion of this affair, I have a share in this, I have a hand in this, this right here is mine. And the best things that he can get his hand on in this life, and the most beneficial, مَا نَفَعَ الْعَبْدَ وَدَامَ نَفْعُهُ لَهُ, that which will benefit the slave, and he benefit a person, and that benefit will continue to benefit him. And that benefit will continue to benefit him. وَلَيْسَ هَذَا إِلَّا حَظَّهُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَالدِّينِ. And this is nothing except for his share of knowledge and religion. His share of knowledge and religion. Any person, maybe he has wealth today and he benefits from that today, but tomorrow it's gone and the benefit is gone. Maybe he has a vehicle today and then he sells the vehicle tomorrow and the benefit of that vehicle is gone. Maybe he has health today and he benefits from that today, and then it's gone tomorrow and the benefit is gone. So all of the benefit from the worldly affairs is continuing for him today, but it will soon go away. Whenever it goes away, the benefit goes away with it. The benefit goes away with it. As for the issue of knowledge and deen, then the benefit remains. The benefit remains. Even after one's death, it will remain with him. And likewise his deen. Because the deen, this is your actions and deeds, and this will go into the grave with you. And if it's good and beneficial for you in this life, it will continue to benefit you in the hereafter, in the grave. And likewise on the day of resurrection, and when you stand before Allah Azza wa Jal, until you enter the paradise, that knowledge and that deen will continue to benefit you. Will continue to benefit you. It will be said to the person of the Qur'an, اقرأ وارتقي. يقال لصاحب القرآن يوم القيامة اقرأ وارتقي. It will be said to the person of the Qur'an, read and raise in ranks. Read and raise in ranks. اقرأ يعني القرآن ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا. And recite it in the beautiful manner the way that you used to recite in the worldly life. These are his deeds and his actions that he used to do. And hereafter they continue to benefit him until he's in the paradise, rising in ranks and status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rising in ranks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the only portion, the only share that one can obtain in this life, that the benefit will continue with him regardless of his situation, whether he's alive or dead. Whether he is alive or dead. فَهَذَا الْحَظُّ الدَّائِمُ النَّافِعُ الَّذِي إِذَا انْقَطَعَتِ الْحُظُوظُ لِأَرْبَابِهَا فَهُوَ مَوْصُولٌ لَهُ أَبَدَ الْآبِدِينَ. So this is the continuously beneficial portion and share that one can obtain. This is the continuous beneficial portion and share of something that one can obtain. And whenever the rest of the shares, and whenever the rest of the things people may have in this life are cut off from those people, this one will continue for eternity. This one will continue for eternity. وَذَٰلِكَ لِأَنَّهُ مَوْصُولٌ بِالْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. And that is because this knowledge and this deen, this issue here, is related to the one who was alive and never dies. This knowledge and this actions, this deen, is in order to draw near and to please the one who is alive and never dies. So the benefit of this will last eternally with the one who's alive and never dies. فَلِذَٰلِكَ لَا يَنْقَطِعُ وَلَا يَفُوتُ. And for this reason, it will never be cut off and it will never end. It will never end. وسائر الحظوظ تعدم وتتلاشى بتلاشي متعلقاتها كما قال تعالى وقدمنا إلى ما عملوا من عمل فجعلناه هباء منثورا. And the rest of the shares or portions or things that people obtain and in this worldly life, then they will be cut off and they will go away and they will end with the things that they're related to end. Any of someone who has a portion of this life, whenever his life ends, then that portion ends for him. And if he has money and he benefits from that, whenever he dies, it's gone. It's gone. He does not benefit from that money no more. It'll go to his inheritors. Or he will have money and then he will spend it up until that money is gone. And the benefit of that money is gone because he spent it. It's gone because he spent it. It's gone. He doesn't continue to benefit from it. He spent it. It's not his anymore. It's not his anymore. So these other benefits from the worldly life, they get used up and they go away. They get used up and they go away. And he mentioned, this is similar to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. That we turn to the deeds that they have done, and we have made them as dust particles spread in the sky. And you have no benefit whatsoever. This is in reference to the deeds of the disbelievers, and those who are insincere in the hereafter. They worked actions of deeds that were not sincere for the sake of Allah, or they were not upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they will be like dust particles of no benefit whatsoever. Like haba'a manthura, the particles of dust, yani like nothing, no benefit for them whatsoever. Ibn Qayyim, he clarifies, rahimahullah, فَإِنَّ الْغَايَةَ لَمَّا كَانَتْ مُنْقَطِيعَةً زَائِلَةً تَبِعَتْهَا أَعْمَالُهُمْ فَانْقَطَعَتْ عَنْهُمْ أَحْوَجَ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَمِلُ إِلَى عَمِلِهِ. وهذه هي المصيبة التي لا تجبر عياذا بالله واستعانة به وافتقارا إليه وتوكلا عليه ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. He said, whenever the aim was something that will be cut off and end, then likewise their deeds, they follow in that. And if the person who did a deed but he was not sincere, he did a deed for the praise of the people, for example, this is something that is going to, if he obtains it, it's going to come to an end. The people eventually someday are going to forget about him and not praise him anymore. Even those who used to praise him, maybe they'll die and not be able to praise him anymore. Or maybe they will find out some faults that he has, and they, instead of praising him now, they will start to blame him and fight fault with him. And the likes like this, or maybe he will die and they will mention him and praise him, and then eventually they'll forget about him and not mention him anymore. So this is something that he had a hope for and an aim that he was striving for. And whether he obtained it or not, it's something that will go away. If he obtained it, it will not last. So the one who is insincere, the aim that he's hoping for is a worldly aim and gain. So that is not going to last, because the worldly life does not last. And the delight of this life does not last. So this is the result. So whenever they had a goal and an aim with their actions and deeds that was not sincere and pure, that was not for the sake of Allah who is alive and never dies, rather it was for the sake of something that is going to fade away and go away, any however long it may last, is going to come to an end, then likewise their actions are dealt with in the same manner and they come to an end. And the benefit does not continue. This is what he's mentioning here, rahimahullahu Ta'ala. So at this time, those deeds will not benefit them whatsoever. And they will be cut off in the time whenever the one who did them is in most need of them. And whenever they're standing and facing their judgment on the day of resurrection, hoping that they have deeds, but their deeds will be nothing and of no benefit to them. And of no benefit to them because they had a foul aim and goal and intention with regards to that. So he says, وَهَذِي هِي الْمُسِيبَةِ عَلَتِي لَا تُجْبَرٍ. This is the calamity that cannot be mended. And we seek refuge with Allah, and we seek the help of Allah, and we beg and are in dire need of Allah, and we put our faith and our trust and reliance entirely upon Allah, and there is no might nor power or strength except for with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some of the summarized benefits that Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned rahimahullahu ta'ala in his book Miftah Dar al-Sa'ada with regards to the narration of Abi al-Darda radiyallahu anhu. If we return back to the text that we're reading in the chapter Fadlu Talib al-Ilm, and coming to the end of that chapter, and what led us to speak about this narration was the statement of the author whenever he is clarifying the lofty and noble traits of the one who is sincere in seeking knowledge, and the one who has the reward and the virtue that is mentioned for the one seeking knowledge, the attributes and characteristics of the one who has the reward and the virtues mentioned with regards to knowledge and his people. So he said, rahimahullah, فَهَذِهِ صِفَةُ مَنْ تَضَعُ لَهُ الْمَلَائِكَ أَجْنِحَتَهَا رِضًا بِمَا يَسْنَعْ وَهُوَ مِمَّنْ هُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَرْجِعْ وَمِمَّنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْحِيتَانُ فِي الْبَحْرِ وَمِمَّنْ قَدْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. يعني referring back to those traits. We read those traits again for the review. He says, وَعْلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ أن من طلاب العلم أناس لهم عقول مؤيدة وأداب جميلة وفهم حسنة يحبون أن يحيوا سنن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسنن أصحابه ويميتوا البدع. You must know, may Allah have mercy on you, from the students of knowledge there are people who have supported strong intellects, beautiful manners, and good understanding. They love to revive the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way of his companions radiyallahu anhum, and they love to do away with innovation. وَيُحِبُّونَ جَمَّ الْعِلْمِ وَكَثْرَتَهُ لِيَحْفَظُوا عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ شَرِيعَتَهُمْ كَرَاهِيَةَ أَنْ يَضِيعَ الْعِلْمِ. They love gathering knowledge and acquiring it, having an abundance of it, with the intention to preserve for the Muslims their legislation. And if they learn and seek knowledge, and they obtain it, and strive to carry it, and to implement it, and to spread it, with the intention to preserve the legislation for the believers, so that the legislation will continue, and the Muslims can continue to strive upon the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, disliking that the knowledge should be lost. Then he said, rahimahullah, فَهَذِهِ صِفَةُ مَنْ تَضَعُ لَهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا رِضًا بِمَا يَسْنَعْ. So this is the description of the one whom the angels lower their wings for, being pleased with their actions. And this is what led us to speak about this narration. He's referring here to this narration in this portion, and actually in the original text, he mentioned a number of these narrations, yani individually. وَهُوَ مِمَّنْ هُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ. And he is from those who are on the path of Allah until they return. وَمِمَّنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْحِيتَانُ فِي الْبَحْرِ. And they are from those whom the angels seek forgiveness for, and the fish in the sea. وَمِمَّنْ قَدْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And they are from those who have indeed set out on a path to paradise. So here he's referring to a number of these narrations, and he mentioned different chains and different wordings of these narrations individually. And this is what we mentioned about the narration of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, that has been, each one of these sentences has been narrated individually, and sometimes they've been narrated together. But Abu Dawood and other than him, likewise rahimahullah, had collected all of these sentences together in one narration. So this is what led us to study the details of that and the benefit of that. There's one narration here he's referring to, and also he mentioned the original text, which we have not discussed yet. And this is in his statement, وَهُوَ مِمَّنْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ. And this person here, these traits that have been mentioned, he is from those who are on the path of Allah until they return. On the path of Allah until they return. And this is in reference to a narration which is collected by At-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, and other than him, from the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من خرج في طالب العلم فهو في سبيل الله حتى يرجع. من خرج في طالب العلم فهو في سبيل الله حتى يرجع. That whoever leaves out seeking knowledge, and he leaves out of his home or leaves out of his land seeking knowledge, فهو في سبيل الله حتى يرجع, then he is considered in the path of Allah until he returns. Then he's considered in the path of Allah until he returns. What is intended by the word fi sabilillah, initially and in general, whenever it's mentioned in the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, al-jihad. Al-jihad. Fi sabilillah, yani al-jihad fi sabilillah. Al-jihad fi sabilillah. So this is an indication that the student of knowledge, he is partaking in a type of jihad. He is partaking in a type of jihad. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned this narration has some weakness in the chain. And some of the scholars have mentioned that it is weak. And from them, Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. And he mentioned that it's weak in a number of his works. And also he mentioned in another, in some of his works likewise, that it's hasanun li ghayrihi. That it's hasanun li ghayrihi. And At-Tirmidhi himself, rahimahullah, he declared it to be hasan. And likewise An-Nawawi declared it to be hasan in Riyadh al-Salihin. In Riyadh al-Salihin. So there is some deficiency, no doubt, about that in the chain of this narration, but the meaning is correct, and the people of knowledge, they have clarified that. They have clarified that. And also, this is from those narrations that Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in the same work. He mentioned in the same work. And all of these narrations and points that he's mentioning here, they're in the clarification of the virtue of knowledge, and its people from a number of different aspects, and this is from those aspects. Rather, any when we count them, this is the 50th aspect, and that which we read previously from the Haditha Abi Darda, that was the 46th aspect. Yani clarifying the virtue of knowledge and its virtue over wealth and the worldly life. So here he mentions the narration which is collected by Tirmidhi from the Hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من خرج في طالب العلم فهو في سبيل الله حتى يرجع. That whoever leaves out seeking knowledge, then he is considered in the path of Allah until he returns. Then he is in the path of Allah until he returns. قال التِرْمِذِي هذا حديث حسن غريب. And Tirmidhi, he says that this narration is حسن, meaning good, and غريب. And he mentions that some of the scholars, they narrated this narration, but they did not ascribe it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning it's a statement from one of the companions. رواه بعضهم فلم يرفعه. Some of them narrated it and didn't ascribe it to the Prophet, meaning that it was ascribed to Anas radiallahu anhu. So again, the meaning of the narration is correct, and there are other evidences clarifying this, but this particular chain, it does have some deficiency in it, and Allah knows best. But also, it has been connected by Ibn Majah from the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من جاء مسجدي هذا لم يأتيه إلا لخير يتعلمه أو يعلمه فهو بمنزلة المجاهد في سبيل الله ومن جاء لغير ذلك فهو بمنزلة الرجل ينظر إلى متاع غيره ينظر إلى متاع غيره. And this narration here has been authenticated by الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله تعالى, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever came to this masjid of mine, and he's referring to Al-Masjid al-Nabawi, referring specifically to Al-Masjid al-Nabawi, من جاء مسجدي هذا لم يأتيه إلا لخير يتعلمه أو يعلمه فهو بمنزلة المجاهد في سبيل الله. Whoever comes to this masjid of mine, he did not come except for some goodness that he wants to learn or to teach, then he is at the rank or status of the mujahid in the path of Allah, the one who's fighting and striving, and he with the weapon, putting his life on the line, putting his soul on the line, fighting the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal with a weapon to raise the statement La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And he has this status. He's of this status, this person here. وَمَنْ جَاءَ لِغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ فَهُوَ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الرَّجُلِ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى مَتَاعِ غَيْرِهِ. And whoever came to the Prophet's Masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for other than that, then he is at the status of a man who's looking at the property of somebody else. And he's window shopping. and he's mending his window, and somebody's looking at the property of somebody else and saying, oh, wow, that's so nice, right? But he doesn't benefit from that, and he doesn't benefit from that. So this is clearly a virtue of seeking knowledge in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But a number of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the understanding is general, and that seeking knowledge is a type of jihad. And this is the clarification of the virtue here. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions great benefit with regards to this. He says, وَإِنَّمَا جُعِلَ طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ مِنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لِأَنَّ بِهِ قِوَامُ الْإِسْلَامِ كَمَا أَنَّ قِوَامَهُ بِالْجِهَادِ فَقِوَامُ الدِّينِ بِالْعِلْمِ وَالْجِهَادِ. So seeking knowledge has only been considered in the path of Allah, any fighting in the path of Allah, striving in the path of Allah. Seeking knowledge is only considered fi sabilillah, and in the fighting and striving in the path of Allah, because by way of it is the establishment of the religion. In this manner, is by way of seeking knowledge, that al-Islam is established. Just as it's likewise established by al-Jihad, striving and fighting. Striving and fighting, then he says, so therefore, قِوَامُ الدِّينِ, the establishment of the religion, بِالْعِلْمِ وَالْجِهَادِ. بِالْعِلْمِ وَالْجِهَادِ is by way of knowledge and by way of striving. Fighting, by way of knowledge and by way of fighting. He says, وَلِهَذَا كَانَ الْجِهَادُ نَوْعَيْنِ وَلِهَذَا كَانَ الْجِهَادُ نَوْعَيْنِ. And for this reason, al-jihad is two types. Al-jihad is two types. He says, جِهَادٌ بِالْيَدِ وَالسِّنَانِ وَهَذَا الْمُشَارِكُ فِيهِ كَثِيرٌ وَجِهَادٌ بِالْحُجَّةِ وَالْبَيَانِ وَهَذَا جِهَادُ الْخَاصَّةِ من أتباع الرسل وهم وهو جهاد الأئمة وهو أفضل الجهادين لعظم منفعته وشدة مؤنته وكثرة أعدائه. He said, and the second type is jihad with proof and clarification. The second aspect is with proof and clarification, and this is the jihad of the specific and the special from the followers of the messengers. The specific, the special from the followers of the messengers. The first jihad, جِهَادٌ بِالْيَدِ وَالسِّنَانِ. The first jihad is with the hand and the weapon. The first jihad is with the hand and the weapon, and the one who participates in this is many. And many people cannot participate in this. And it's easy for a person to raise his hand and fight. It's easy for a person to learn how to use a weapon and to fight. This is something that even the children can learn how to do. Even the child can learn how to shoot an arrow or to shoot a weapon. And this is something that, and they can become very precise in that likewise. So many people partake in this type of jihad. They're able to and capable. They're able to and capable to fight with the hand and to fight with a weapon. And the second one, jihadun wa jihadun bil hujjati wal bayan. The second one is jihad with the proof and clarification. Wa hadha jihadul khassa min atba'i rusul. And this is the jihad of the special ones. Of the special ones, of those specific special slaves from the followers of the messengers, alayhim as-salatu wassalam, huwa jihadul a'imma, and this is the jihad of the imams. Huwa afdalul jihadain, it's the best and most virtuous of the two types of jihad. It's the best and most virtuous of the two types of jihad. Li'idhami manfa'atihi wa shiddati mu'natihi wa kathrati a'da'ihi, because of the great benefit that comes by way of it and how hard it is to deal with and to face and to continue, and because of how many enemies there are on this path. Because of how many enemies there are on this path. The army is going to have to face the enemy that's in front of them, but the people of knowledge, they're facing enemies even from within. The hypocrites and the likes like this, they're aiming their arrows at them and striking them and trying to find fault with them and the likes like this, even from within. Even from within the ranks, before the enemies of al-Islam. So therefore, this is a great struggle, striving to seek knowledge. And likewise, we have seen there are so many obstacles to lead the student of knowledge away from knowledge, and to mislead him, or to deter him, or to slow him down on the path. And these are just obstacles that we have discussed, and there are a number, and there are many, not to mention, once one obtains knowledge, how difficult it is to carry that and to stand and to defend, and to clarify, to teach, or to give a sermon, or to refute, or to write a refutation, or to write a clarification, or to give good advice sincerely and properly, mentioning the evidence and proof and understanding the issue clearly. And the likes like this, these affairs, they become very heavy and difficult. They become very heavy and difficult. Not everyone can bear that. Not everyone can bear that. So therefore, this aspect here is higher and more lofty. Higher and more lofty. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he has another work called Jala'at Afham. Called Jala'at Al-Afham. It's all about this. This is a one-volume work that he has, rahimahullah. It's about the rulings and the benefits and the issues related to sending a salah on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there are a number of benefits in this work. In this book, on page 492, he mentions this issue here is referring to in a bit more detail with greater benefit. He says, rahimahullah, wa tabligu sunanihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila al-ummati afdalu min tabligh al-sihami ila nuhur al-adu. He said, and conveying the laws and legal ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the ummah is more virtuous than bringing the arrows to the throats of the enemies. It's more virtuous than bringing the arrows to the throats of the enemies. Which one is more virtuous, to bring the sunnah to the people or to bring the arrows to the enemies? To bring the sunnah to the ummah or to bring the arrows to the enemies? Which one is more virtuous? He's telling us here, وَتَبْلِيغُ سُنَنِهِ إِلَى الْأُمَّةِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ تَبْلِيغُ السِّهَامِ إِلَى الْعَدُوِ. This is what he's saying here. To convey the sunnah, to teach the Muslims the religion, and to convey that, and to advise them, and to admonish them, and to help them, and to reconcile amongst them, and to admonish them, and to direct them, and to advise them. All of this here to clarify the correct way, the proper understanding, the good creed, the good manners, the good conduct, the right way to pray, the right way to make wudu, the right way to make wudu, the right way to pray, the right way to fast, the rulings of fasting, what happens when I do this, yeah, Shaykh, so on and so forth. The one who is engaged in this, this is more virtuous than the one who is engaged in bringing the arrows to the throats of the enemy. وَتَبْلِيغُ سُنَنِهِ إِلَى الْأُمَّةِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ تَبْلِيغِ السِّهَامِ إِلَى نُحُورِ الْعَدُوِ. Into the throats of the enemies. He says, لِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ التَّبْلِيغُ يَفْعَلُهُ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Because that type of tabligh, yani bringing the arrows to the throats of the enemies, many people can do that. Many people are able to learn how to use an arrow. In our days, we use guns. Many people, they're able to learn how to use a weapon. Many people, men and women, children, are able to learn how to use a weapon proficiently. So this is something many people can do. Many people can do. He says, وَأَمَّا تَبْلِيغُ السُّنَنِ فَلَا يَكُمُ بِهِ إِلَّا وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَخُلَفَاؤُهُمْ فِي أُمَمِهِمْ جَعَلَنَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنْهُمْ بِمَنِّهِ وَكَرَمِهِ. Rahimahullah, Ameen. So he says, and as for conveying his laws and legal ways, the Sunan, then no one is able to do this except for the inheritors of the prophets and those who establish and uphold their way after them from their followers. May Allah make us from them, from His grace and from His kindness. So no doubt, the one who is striving and fighting the true jihad in the path of Allah, and that's legislated, not the jihad that people claim today, and the likes like this, any jihad, any fi sabili shaitan waliyadu billah wal hawa, la, the true jihad, whenever that is established and whenever that is legislated, the one who is engaged in that, he's engaged in the best of deeds. And so this is again to clarify the status of knowledge, that seeking knowledge and teaching knowledge is higher than that, is greater than that, is more beneficial than that, and is of high and lofty status. The people of knowledge, as they mentioned, that the soldiers and those who fight in the cause of Allah, لِإِلَىٰ كَرِمَةِ اللَّهِ, to raise the statement, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ, high, and to spread the deen through the land with the help and the aid of Allah. And then with their weapons, they opened the lands and they conquered the lands. But it's the people of knowledge, it's the scholars and the students of knowledge that, by the grace and the mercy of Allah, and then after that, by their knowledge and their wisdom and their effort, they conquered the hearts of the people. And they opened the hearts of the people and are a means of guidance for them to accept the truth and to follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore they come hand in hand. The soldiers, they open the lands, and the scholars, they open the hearts. And the intention is to open the hearts. And if they are able to open the hearts without conquering the lands, then they would do that. Because the religion is in the hearts and established in the hearts. And the sword is only used whenever the people refuse and they reject for the da'wah to spread. And then whenever they forbid for the da'wah to spread and for Islam to be established, at this time the Muslim army will advance. You understand that? So it's all about da'wah. It's not about money. They're not advancing. The Muslim army is not advancing in order to rample them and to ravage them and to take the spoils of war. Rather, is in order to open their hearts and to guide them and to remove them from disbelief, and to remove them from the chains and the shackles of misguidance and disbelief. And there's a narration by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about Unas yadkhuluna jannah bisalasil, that there's going to be people who enter into paradise in chains, in shackles and chains. And in shackles and chains. And this is the case, that their lands will be conquered, and then it will be a means for them, and in the end, to realize the truth and to become Muslims. And to become Muslims. Some of the best of this ummah, they were at one time slaves. They were at one time slaves. Even the best, some of the best of this ummah, at one time they were disbelievers. And then their lands were conquered by the Muslim armies, and then they were enslaved as disbelievers, and then later they accepted Islam and came to be from the best of them. Muhammad bin Sirin, his father Sirin, he was a young boy in a church whenever that land was conquered. And then later on he became the father of Anas and Muhammad and Hafsa, from the best of the Tabi'een, from the greatest scholars of Hadith. Allahu Akbar. So the point here is to realize the virtue of knowledge, and likewise the virtue of those who seek it truthfully, and those who strive to obtain it sincerely, and those who implement it in their life and spread it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a type of jihad. This is a type of jihad, rather the most virtuous type of jihad. And this is something that only the few of the few are able to do, and the rarest of the rare. But still, Ibn Qayyim, what did he say? May Allah make us from them, from His grace and from His kindness. So this is something to desire and to hope for, and this is something to strive and to work for. And this is something that people of knowledge, they have discussed in their works, and even you will find this issue mentioned indirectly in the titles of their works, in the titles of some of their works. For example, the author himself, rahimahullah, Ibn Qayyim, he has a number of works. We know he has a library, a collection of works, rahimahullah ta'ala. From that, he has a book entitled Ijtima' al-Juyush al-Islamiyyah ala Harbi al-Mu'attila wal-Jahmiyyah. He has a book called Ijtima' al-Juyush al-Islamiyyah, the gathering of the Islamic forces ala Harbi al-Mu'attila wal-Jahmiyyah, in war against the Mu'attila and the Jahmiyyah. The Mu'attila, there are those who deny the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. There are those who deny the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, He doesn't have attributes. They deny them. They deny them in many different ways, in many different aspects, figuratively speaking, majaz, and tahrif, and tahwil, tahrif, and ta'wil, many different ways that they do that, but they're known as the Mu'attila. And likewise, Al-Jahmiyyah, from the worst of them. From the worst of them. So he wrote a book refuting them. He wrote a book refuting their doubts and misconceptions and misunderstandings, clarifying and verifying the proper creed and methodology in regards to these affairs. And he titled this book, Ijtima' al-Juyush al-Islamiyyah, the gathering of the Islamic forces, al-Harb al-Mu'attila wal-Jahmiyyah, in war against the Mu'attila, these people who deny the Sifat, and the Jahmiyyah, and from the worst of them. From the worst of the statements of the Jahmiyyah is that have they initiated saying that the Qur'an is created. That the Qur'an is created, wa'iyadhu billah. Wa'iyadhu billah. So what is he referring to here? What type of forces is he referring to? The gathering of what forces? Huh? Proofs and evidences. Ahsanta. He's not talking about arrows and swords. Arrows and swords and spears. Spears, arrows, and swords. La, and horses and horsemen. La, he's talking about the forces that are found in the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of the Salaf of this Ummah. He has another book likewise. It's called As-Sawa'iq al-Mursala al-Jahmiyyah wal-Mu'attila. He didn't stop. He didn't give them room to breathe. He didn't take his foot off their chest. You understand what I'm saying? He was striving, writing works time after time. Some of these works are made more than one volume. And the likes like this, As-Sawa'iq al-Mursala, yani the bolts of lightning. Lightning bolts that are sent like rockets and missiles, على الجهمية والمعطلة, that are being sent on the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'attila, those who deny the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jalla. What are these Sawa'iq al-Mursala? What is he sending against them? What is he sending against them? Missiles and bombs? Rockets? Huh? Explosions? La, he's sending against them knowledge. He's sending against them knowledge. This is what these books are about. Refutation, clarification, bringing evidence and proof from the Quran and the Sunnah, and mentioning transmissions, statements from the Salaf, statements from the Sahaba, statements from the Tabi'in, from the Atba' Tabi'in, and the Imams of the Sunnah clarifying the proper understanding of these texts, clarifying the proper understanding of the Sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the proper creed and belief of the affairs of the unseen. Of the affairs of the unseen, that these people, they try to use their intellect to judge and rule and disregard the text. In any case, to clarify, this is a type of jihad. And likewise, Hafiz al-Hakimi, rahimahullah, he mentioned in some of his poetry, in Al-Mimiyya, he says, referring to those scholars, he says, "Hum nasiru dini wal hamuna hawzatahu min al-aduwi bi jayshin ghayri munhazimi." Min al-aduwi bi jayshin ghayri munhazimi. Hum, yani al-ulama, hum nasiru dini. وَالْحَامُونَ حَوْزَتَهُ مِنَ الْعَدُوِّ بِجَيْشٍ غَيْرِ مُنْهَزِمِ. That they, the scholars, they are the aiders, supporters of the religion, and they are those who are protecting the deen from the enemy. بِجَيْشٍ غَيْرِ مُنْهَزِمِ. With an army that cannot be defeated. With an army that cannot be defeated. The scholars, they are fighting with an army that cannot be defeated. What is that army? Can the weapon be defeated if somebody is fighting with steel and iron? Huh? Can they give up on him? Can he be defeated? But if he's fighting truthfully, sincerely with the deen of Allah and with the knowledge, he cannot be defeated. He cannot be defeated. Sheikh Abdul Razak, he mentioned about this statement here. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, Al-Muradu bil-Jayshi, Quwatu al-Rududi, bil-Ayati, wal-Ahadithi, wal-Nuqul al-Azima, an A'immat al-Salaf. Wal-Nuqul al-Azima, an A'immat al-Salaf. He said, what is intended by the army here? By the army here, بِجَيْشٍ غَيْرِ مُنْهَزِمِ الْجُيُوشَ الْإِسْلَامِيَّ. What is intended by the army here, by the forces here, is the strength and refutation with the verses of the Qur'an and the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the great transmissions that have been mentioned from the Imams of the Salaf. From the Imams of the Salaf. This is what they're fighting with. This is what they're fighting with. This is what they're standing on the front line defending Islam. In this manner. And this is something that is of utmost importance in these days. And this is why we're studying and reading the likes of this book, in order to encourage the youth particularly, and the Muslims in general, to strive to learn the religion, to be a means to defend the deen, and to defend the aqidah, and to defend the methodology and the manhaj, and to defend that Islam properly in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to spread that. Islam is being attacked from every angle, inside and outside. Inside and outside, waliyadhu billah, yani trying to water down the religion and make an American version or a Western version or the likes like this, or just trying to wipe it out entirely. To wipe it out entirely, to strip Islam from the hearts of the believers little by little until they leave their religion entirely, or until they have no understanding of their deen and they claim to be Muslim but they don't know their own religion. And this is something that we witness in these days, and this is from the plots of the enemies of Islam. So how can this be thwarted? How can this be dealt with? How can we treat this problem? Not with weapons. We don't even have weapons in the first place. But it's not the time to use weapons, right? The weapon of knowledge and wisdom and da'wah, according to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and clarifying the truth. And this requires for us to be diligent to learn. May Allah grant us success. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.